I invite you to take out your Bibles, and if you would, please turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 today. And I want to talk to you today about voices. We all have voices in our lives. We have voices of what our mind is speaking in the stillness. And you know what? A lot of times I don't think that we enjoy or we like times of silence. How many, if you're at home, you have to, if it's quiet, you have to turn the radio or the TV or something on? I think we're all kind of human nature. And I know that if I do a time of silence in church, and if it goes just like 30 seconds too long, everybody starts rustling papers and gets awkward. Because it's in the silence that we face ourselves in the sight of a holy God. And God speaks in the stillness. But there's all kinds of other voices that compete with the voice of God. We have moms and dads and family members. We have the things that replay in our mind and rehash over and over and over again, maybe from mistakes we've made in our past. We have the voices of granddad who told us not to do that, but we did it anyways. We have the voices of the television and what the world is telling you. Man, you know, it's okay to tell a little lie, you know, because it's better to tell a lie and then to hurt the person, right? I mean, come on. You've all heard somebody say something like that at work or at school and just tell a little bit of a white lie. We have voices. And I want to talk to you this morning from this passage, what voice will you listen to? Now, I want to read this first before we launch into Acts chapter 4. And I would encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the pews in front of you. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 to 22. Now, when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For what a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Now, when we come into this passage of Scripture, just to catch everybody up to speed here, a lame man that was sitting in the gate had just been healed. And I want to draw your attention to a word in verse 14. He says he was healed standing beside them. And that word standing comes from the word stasis in the Greek, which is anastasis, which is resurrection. And so what he was basically saying here is there is a powerful statement that the healed man was standing upright. The one who couldn't walk before was standing upright, but not only screams the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his power. Because if we look back in verse 7, it says, "By what name did you do this?" They questioned the apostles. And then you go on a little further and they said, "It's by the name of Jesus," in verse 10. And then Peter goes on to say, he says, "There's no other name in heaven that you can be saved." And then we come to this passage and they're telling the apostles, "We don't want you to speak in this name anymore." So we have a case of whose voice we're going to listen to today. First of all, there's the voice of sinful pleasure and lust. That's the voice of yourself, the voice of myself. It's human reasoning. Anybody reason something to the point of, something was wrong. You knew it at the beginning, but by the time you got done thinking about it, all of a sudden it was right. That's human reasoning. That's thinking of a way of how can I twist this to get what I want. How about our desires or our feelings? Like, you know, this just doesn't feel right. You know, the apostles could have done that. They said, this doesn't feel right for us to just stand up here in the temple and preach this name of Jesus, and the guys that are in charge of it are offended by it. Maybe we better quiet it down a bit, or maybe we better take it over into some stable or some barn or something like that and keep it quiet. They didn't do that. Whose voice will we listen to? Is it the voice of ourselves? I speak lies to myself on a daily basis. And Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, the voice of self brings on shame, what we just prayed about and talks about. The voice of self puts us in a pool of pity. The voice of self brings me to a place where I can do what I want to do. If it feels good, do it. If I want to sleep around, I'm going to sleep around. If I want to tell a lie, I'm going to tell a lie. If I want to do that, I'm just going to, because it just feels good. Is the voice of self. But then it gets worse. There's the voice of the world. Now look around you. We're all people that live in this world, right? And we have the voice of our friends. We have the voice of our family members. We have the voice of our neighbors. We have the voices of government. We have the voices of what society says. We have the voices even of man-made religion. You just got to try harder and maybe you'll get to heaven. The voice of religion. Because what does the voice of Jesus say? The voice of Jesus says, I stretched out my arms, I died for you in your place, took your punishment for your sins. You don't get to heaven by trying to earn God's favor or do something. You get to heaven because of what Jesus has done. And because of what Jesus has done, I want to live for Him. There's the voice of the world. That's our family members. And you know, when I used to work when I first was out of college and worked in a place called Teen Challenge, it was a live-in program for men who had come out of gangs, and specifically in Chicago, and that were in drugs and all kinds of other issues and alcohol. But one of the most difficult thing that we had to deal with was the voice of their families. Because you know what these guys would do? The first chance they'd get, they get to talk to their loved ones and say, you know, I think I've changed now. I went to prayer meeting and Pastor Mike preached this great sermon and I came to the altar and I changed my life and then they're like, this place, the food is horrible. Because it's based on donations. You know, we had ramen noodle soup with hot dogs in it some days. It wasn't always the greatest food. And so then their loved ones would start to feel sorry for them. And they'd say, okay, I'll come and get you and I'll take you home. And guess what happened? They went right back out to the streets, went right back out to drugs. Voices. Voices. It's the voice of the world. Whose voice are you listening to? Some of us have family members that have already passed away that have spoken negative, bad, evil words over our lives, but we're still listening to that voice. Today I want to say, let's join with the apostles and be filled with the Holy Spirit and let's break that bondage and say, I'm no longer going to listen to that voice of my past. I'm no longer going to listen to the voice of dad and mom that have spoken words of negativity into my life, or perhaps it's an aunt or an uncle or something, somebody did evil to you in your life. There's the voice of the devil, and we talked about this quite a few months ago in the temptations of Jesus. It's a temptation to replace God, to test God, and to rob God of His glory. And that's exactly what Satan did through the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And that's exactly what he tried to do to Jesus. It appeals to our pride. And then last of all, of course, we have the voice of God. And I know everyone that's seated in here, if I were to ask, say, do you want to listen to the voice of self or the devil? or the world, or do you want to listen to the voice of God? I can guarantee you pretty much every single person in here would say, I want to hear the voice of God. That's good. That's a start. But the lame man didn't stay sitting. He got up and walked. He was standing in the resurrection power of Jesus. So here's some 5 points today about voices. Number one, who or what you spend the most time with is who you will listen to. Now, there's no doubt about it. What consumes your time and your thinking the most, who you're around the most, is who you're going to listen to the most. If you have a good friend or someone in your life that you're close to and you spend a lot of time, and you're more likely to listen to their voice. I'm sorry, they're more likely, get that backwards. I'm more likely to listen to their voice. There we go. But let's look at that word in Proverbs. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. I loved that verse because whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Who you surround yourself with is who you're going to begin to listen to. And guess who the disciples hung out with? And it was noticeable. Remember we talked this week, these were fishermen with a Galilean twang. They had a country twang. And the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't understand how they spoke with such clarity and authority because they had not been to rabbinical school. But yet every time they would try to trap them, they would just speak with power and authority in the name of Jesus. So who or what you spend time with? They said, man, these guys have been with Jesus. So if you want to change the voice you listen to, change who you spend most of your time. What is your time with Jesus like? And what dominates most of the time? And what do you think about and rehearse in your mind? Now, if you're like me, as a human being, there's certain things that I replay and rehash over and over into my mind. Whether it was a mistake I made or something somebody said that brought negativity into my life or discouragement or that sort of thing. But what we allow to dominate is what we're going to listen to, and that's how we're going to live our life by that. So we have to identify, is that the voice of God or have I spent enough time with Jesus? Because when we sit in the lap of Jesus, we put worship music in and we open the Word of God, not just to, okay, I got my daily reading in. It was in chapter 1 of Acts. I got it in. No, look at it as I'm going to have coffee with God. And I'm meet Him face to face and have dinner with Jesus. And the more we have dinner with Jesus, it could be in those few seconds while we're at our job during the day that we just stop and think about a trait of who Jesus is and just say, Jesus, I love you. The more we do that, the more we're going to listen to the right voice. Secondly, who or what you listen to is going to be evident to all. Now notice in verses 14 to 16, he was standing and these religious leaders who had the highest rabbinical law training of the day could not stop or come up with something to say to trap the disciples. There is a man who was lame at the gate. He was 40 years old. In other words, he was old enough to know and understand what was going on. And here he is leaping as an adult, healed. They could say nothing. There's no evidence to the contrary. Hundreds and thousands of people saw what was going on. And remember at this time when they would meet in the temple, there was probably about 10,000 or so believers by this time. Women and children and everything. So that's a whole lot of people that were meeting and listening to Peter's teaching here. Not to mention all the onlookers that were excited because what is this mass of people in temple worship today worshiping Yahweh? If we listen to God, the end results in spreading Jesus Christ. It's healing. But if we listen to other voices, there's going to be denial. They had nothing to say, but they were still looking for a way to deny that this really happened. Now, don't raise your hands, but I want to talk to you when you read a passage of Scripture or when you hear something, you say, yeah, I need to change this part in my life. What is some of the first things that you might do? If I come across a passage of scripture, I said, well, let's skip over that and move down to verse 5 because that applies more to my wife than it does to me. Right? I have this big problem looking me right in the face and glaring at me, and I want to find something that will make me feel better about myself, and so I'm in denial. These religious leaders could not deny that it was through the name of Jesus that this man was healed, but that was a threat to their authority, it was a threat to their pocketbooks, it was a threat to their leadership over the people. But when we listen to other voices, it may seem good for the moment, but if we deny, frustration and jealousy, because it's going to be a futile attempt to try to deny the power of the name of Jesus. We just can't do it. Now, isn't it, and I get astounded at myself sometimes, that after I have a great experience with Jesus and just love, He loves me and I love Him, and then I go out and I make a mistake and settle for something less. After I had something so good, I then settle for something less again. And I get frustrated with myself. Why? Because I'm trying to go against God. I really wouldn't recommend that. If God says it in His Word, if God speaks it to us through our time that we spend, or maybe through another brother or sister who has the truth of the Word of God in them, then maybe I'm frustrated in my life because I'm continuing to do the same thing over and over again. Now, when I grew up, I was the smallest kid in the class, the shortest, and you wouldn't believe the skinniest. And so in the room walks somebody maybe as tall, as athletic as Christian. And I would say, I'm going to go to battle. I'm going to conquer this dude. And here I am. This is going to be really, really hard to picture. Short, skinny, clumsy, that sort of thing. Now stand up for a moment, Christian, if you would. Maybe flex a little bit. You know, you can't. Okay. Just a little bit. Yeah. See, when I flex, watch, when I flex, it pops out at other places, at all the wrong places. You would say, Ryan got that funny. You got that one. You would say, Mike, you're ridiculous for fighting against this guy. You're going to lose. But yet we still think that we can listen to other voices and fight against God Almighty who created us out of nothing, and He can speak us into nothing again if He wants. Who or what we listen to is going to be evident to all. So number three, who or what you listen to has to do with who is really the top of authority. And this is what we're dealing with today. And have you ever had questions in your mind on where do I draw the line on obeying the government and obeying God? Have you ever thought that, you know? Well, I have to pay my taxes, but they use taxes to do things that I don't agree with. So does that mean we should not pay our taxes? You know, there's questions like that that go through our minds. And so what does it mean when we talk about obedience to authority in our lives? There's four options to dealing with authority here. I just want to give you the first approach, which some in the early church did, and that's the monastic option. Have you ever heard of monasteries or monks or people that would go and live out on a pole in the middle of the desert just to try to escape it all and say, forget about this. Forget about government authority. Forget about society. Forget about fitting in. I'm just going to go out here and I'm going to do my own thing. It's just, you know, me and God, and I'm not going to pay taxes. I'm going to do my own thing. So that's the monastic approach. That's God alone with the authority of the government denied. Then there's the secular option, which is extremely popular today, is that government alone with the authority of God denied. Now we think about our country and our government system alone. Originally, when the forefathers saw the sinfulness and the evil of man, they created a government that had checks and balances. If one was off, the president was off, you had the Congress that was supposed to overturn and outvote. And if the Supreme Court was off, you had Congress or the president. So they all have checks and balances. But the problem comes, and as people have misinterpreted the Constitution was not established to keep religion, or in other words, God's authority out of government. It was to keep government authority out of God or out of the church. It was to protect religious freedom. So what happens when people take the secular route and say government alone is the authority and God is denied, when all three branches or four branches of the government, the Senate, the Congress and all of that, the Supreme Court and the President all joined together on pushing God out? That's when we're going to have a problem. So this is the secular viewpoint. Then there's the cowardly option. That's the authority of both God and the government, but with the government in the dominant position. You know, I kind of want to keep everybody happy here. And Pilate, when Jesus was brought before him, was in that position. He said, you know, I kind of have to, even though I know this man's innocent, I kind of have to keep the Romans happy and the Jews happy and this person happy. So I'm just going to do and allow government to dominate. And so I'm going to try to please both sides of the crowd. And I'm going to try to talk the people into letting Jesus go. That's the cowardly option. And then the last of all is what God clearly speaks in the Scripture, is that God and government, but with God in the dominant position for us as believers in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to look, if you will, real quickly, because I want you to understand that this is so important. We deal with these issues today in society. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Romans 13. I want you to notice the power of the flow in this passage, of the balance of God being the ultimate authority, but yet we're commanded to obey government authorities so that we can have a balanced approach. He says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. So God has the power to put people in charge and to take them down. And in other words, he's the ultimate authority. They're there because God allowed them to be there. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct. So here's what rulers are supposed to be doing if they're established under God's authority. They're supposed to be there to support good conduct and put bad conduct to justice, but not to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So keep in mind, did the Roman authorities do everything right? We read history, we find out some were money hungry. Some did what they could to get in a higher position of power. And this was the context that was written. He's saying, church, you still need to pay taxes and be subject to authority because God put them there. And then you say, okay, but where do we draw the line? Acts chapter 4 tells us where to draw the line. He says in verse 19, Peter answered them, he says, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. Now, notice that other passage was talking about when we do what is wrong, the government is there. But what about when we do what is right and the government says that that's wrong? Here's where we draw the line. Here's where God's rule over the church dominates in this instance. If someone came up to you and said, I don't want you to stop, I want you to stop speaking about the name of Jesus and His death and burial and resurrection. We prefer you use generic terms like man upstairs or God because we all have the same God and everybody can sing kumbaya together and all that sort of thing. If you're told to do that, what are we supposed to do? Word of God says to obey God, not man. Now you might say, Mike, what does this have to do with us right now? There's no one coming to my door telling me not to speak in the name of Jesus. Let's kind of back up a moment and talk about some of those other voices because this could apply to that area as well. What in your life or who in your life is hindering your relationship with Jesus Christ? Who is blocking the voices of God and the Scripture and Jesus Christ? Are you going to put them as the dominant position of authority, or is God still the authority? And see, these were religious leaders. They knew that their position came from God. Peter says, you know, is it, should we obey God or should we obey you? Let's see. And there are times in history where Christians had to obey God rather than man. And there was a time in history when Christians should have obeyed God rather than man, but they didn't. And one such case, if you all, I'm sure, are familiar with it, is when the Nazi regime and Hitler was taken over and cramming Jews in these trains, and you know what the churches did as they were going by? There was wailing, there was screaming. They sang their hymns louder and did nothing. But there were those few that did something, and that's why we have those stories and testimonies of Corrie ten Boom. Those are the times when government does things that are against God's word. We don't have to obey. In fact, we need to take some action and make a difference. You know, don't say that, well, because all the choices are bad this year, I'm not going to vote. Or don't draw back from your responsibility in being a citizen that God's called you to in this nation. Don't stop paying taxes. But the moment government steps in and says you cannot follow Jesus Christ, we have to part ways. And that's going to be hard. But even harder is the voice of my lustful flesh, and this feels good and I want to do it, to say no to that and yes to God. Who or what you listen to has to do with what you will speak as truth. Do you speak of what you've seen and heard as actual facts or what you feel? And do you speak of what you've seen and heard firsthand from God's word or what someone tells you secondhand? I just love, it's just hilarious to me when people come in church and have all these cute religious sayings that they think were in God's word and they're really not. You know, we've talked about those before. The Lord helps those that helps themselves. Was nowhere found in Scripture. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That is also nowhere in Scripture. So will we choose to listen to the voice of God directly as is recorded in His Word and obey it and say, this is our authority? Or will we choose to listen to secondhand knowledge of what we thought we heard or what we thought Grandma said sitting in her rocking chair, and maybe we've turned it around in a couple of generations and nowhere near what Grandma said? Secondhand, thirdhand information. Apostle said, we were with Jesus. We saw Him crucified. We saw Him resurrected. And we can't deny it, that it is in His name this man was healed. And it is His name that only that anyone can be saved and get to heaven. It is the power of Jesus Christ. This is what I'm sticking to. And church and men and women, I want to encourage you more than ever before. The authority of God's Word is being attacked. And it's being thrown out of the church. We might read a scripture of Psalms that says, praise the Lord, every once in a while. But do we do what it says? Do we understand and study it in its context and understand how God's Word applies to our life today? It's God's voice. Otherwise, if I'm not immersed in the truth of God's Word, I'm going to say things that, oh, the Holy Spirit told me this, or I feel that, and it's going to be way off base because the Holy Spirit never works separate from the Word. Jesus said, the time will come and they will worship me in spirit and in truth. Not just spirit, not just truth, spirit and in truth. Who or what you listen to results in worship of someone or something. Look at in verse 21 to 22. He says, when they had further threatened them and they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. There was no arguing it. There's not talking about just a child who was faking it. This was a guy that was for 40 years lame, was healed. Who we choose to listen to is more than just making a choice. It's a matter of worship. So I want to pray as we close today that you understand, if you forget everything else in this message today about voices, who you listen to is a matter of worship. It's a matter of who is getting the glory in your life. Is it my sinful pleasure? Is it the world? Is it the government? Is it the devil? Or is it Jesus Christ? These guys could not find anything to say because everybody was praising God. Now, if you can imagine a big temple with the pillars and the stonework and the cement and everybody praising God all at the same time, shouting hallelujah, shouting amen, it was like a sound of a mighty rushing ocean wave or wind, if you will. There's no denying it. God was getting the glory in His temple once again. Because of the power of Jesus Christ working through the church. Do you want that power working through you? Voices. Who in 2017 are you going to listen to? Who are we going to help each other listen to? Don't say Pastor Mike. Unless what's coming out of his mouth is the Word of God. Don't say my grandma, because that's going to lead to frustration. But Jesus Christ. And as we close the service, I'm going to ask if Andrew could come with this last song. We're going to take communion today before we leave. But for 2017, what I would ask is that in this moment, as we just prepare our hearts, we serve communion to all openly, but we charge you, encourage you, communion is for those that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and repented of your sin, it's okay to just refrain until you're ready, till the Holy Spirit moves on your heart. But if you're here today and you say, you know what, I just want to receive Jesus as my Lord, I just encourage you during this time of prayer just to say, Lord, save me. I receive your salvation. I know I'm a sinner and I know I need your grace. Jesus, I believe you died for me and I believe you rose again. You can do that right in the quiet end of this room. But for all of us that are believers here today, as we partake communion, let's make a commitment in our hearts between you and God, between us and God. Say, God, this year, I'm going to choose to learn to listen to your voice. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go a step further and I'm going to say in my heart that God's Word, the Bible, from cover to cover, is my authority to live by. This is the power of life. So let's bow our hearts before the Lord. I just want to give you some time just to meditate on Him. I'm going to ask if our ushers will come as we hand out our communion this morning, partaking of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus in remembrance of what He's done. Father God,